Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Today I want to begin a few weeks in a row of the letter to the Colossians. We'll talk about our life in Christ, how we live out our lives in Christ, and what it is that we have in Christ as we look at these lessons from Colossians over the next few weeks. Our second reading, the epistle reading for the next 4 weeks will come from this book. I won't be here on that fourth week, but for the next rest of July, we'll preach on Colossians. And as we begin to read this letter to the Colossians, there was something that came to my mind as I was reading these first 14 verses as Paul opens this letter. And there's this usual thing that happens when pastors get together and talk to each other about church and how things are going. You talk about the good things, you know, and you talk about, well, the bad things. You do a little bragging about how great your congregation is, you know, how attendance has been well, and you had a great vacation Bible school and sent 34 people off to Colorado for the youth conference. And but you're also finally in a place with other pastors, talking with another pastor, where you can complain a little about the difficult people and the challenges that affect the ministry there. And just so we're clear, when I'm saying this, I'm speaking hypothetically. I've never complained about you. But I hear that's something that some pastors do. Well, now I have to confess because I'm lying. But this is actually a helpful thing, as it allows pastors or anyone in any profession, to talk shop and get advice and counsel and work through some of the challenges that they might be facing. And this is the picture that I have in mind as I read these opening words from the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, because Paul has been imprisoned while writing this letter, and he's been imprisoned with Epaphras. Now, Epaphras, we learn in the closing chapter, chapter 4 of the letter to the Colossians, Epaphras was imprisoned with him, and Epaphras was a Colossian himself and likely the founding missionary of the church there. So he'd been their pastor. He's the one who brought them the gospel. And he and Paul now have been spending some time together talking about the good stuff and the bad stuff going on in Colossae. And Paul hasn't, as far as we know, doesn't know the church there firsthand. He's not been there and visited this church, but he's learned about it from Epaphras, a faithful minister in Christ, we're told, who taught the Colossians the truth and has made known to Paul the Colossians' love in the Spirit. But along with learning about their faith and their love for all the saints and giving thanks to God for them, as we read, he's also learned of their problems. He's also learned of the heresies that were creeping in to the Colossian church. Epaphras did some bragging, and it also looks for some advice and counsel about the problems that the Colossian church is facing. And just yesterday, I was talking to my brother-in-law. We were FaceTiming, or what? Actually, it was on WhatsApp. We were talking online with my brother-in-law, who's a full-time Lutheran missionary in Brazil. And he was getting me caught up on the ministry there, and he did some bragging about the great things that are happening and the fruitful things that he's seeing and the blessing that it's been to be there. And he did a little, well, I won't say he was complaining, but you might call it lamenting some of the issues that they face. He's loving and enjoying the ministry and is blessed by the church there, the people there. But he also sees people who have this desire. They all want to, as he said it, major in the minors. And they have this desire to somehow get deeper and major in these minor issues, but they lack the fundamental basics of the Christian faith. They all want to tackle the meat and the potatoes, but they haven't yet learned to drink the milk. The situation he described in Brazil seemed an awful lot like the situation that Martin Luther describes in the preface of the Small Catechism when he calls it a deplorable condition, situation that he saw the people as he visited the churches in Germany, and even the pastors didn't know the basics of the Christian faith. And my brother-in-law Johnny said the same thing. He said the pastors here don't know the basics of the faith. and they lead people astray with false teachings. And Epaphras, in our lesson here, tells Paul about the Colossians. They seem to have learned the basics from Epaphras, who's a faithful minister. They seem to have learned the basics, and they got much of it right. But they also seem to have forgotten the basics and have been led astray, put their trust in false things. They're being led astray by New Age ideas, misunderstandings about who Jesus is and what he has done, being led astray by worship of spiritual beings like angels and so on, and dietary laws and laws about festivals and Sabbaths and so on. That's not all dealt with here in the first 14 verses, but it's the reason, the occasion for which Paul is writing this letter. And the Colossian heresy seems to be a mix of like the Judaizing heresy in Galatia and early Gnosticism, but we won't get into all of that right now. But Paul is writing them after hearing from Epaphras the good things and the bad things, and Paul is writing to point them back to the basics, back to what it's really all about. And he's going to remind them that it's all about Jesus, pointing them throughout the book to exactly who it is that Jesus is and the hope and the life that we have in Jesus. So for today, we're going to focus on some of those opening words that Paul gives to them in verses 3 through 14. But we'll work backwards a little bit, starting with those last couple of verses there, verses 12 through 14. And in verse 12 through 14, Paul says that he gives thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Paul gives them the message of the gospel. Paul takes them back to the basics, and we need to always be going back to the basics. We never get past them. Doesn't mean we don't build on them, but we never get past them. It's the story of our salvation, how we were rescued, delivered from the domain of darkness, that is, from sin and death because of our sins, far from God and without hope in this world. We were delivered from that, rescued from that, and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That is the place where we've been rescued from all of our sins through his shed blood on the cross, reconciled with God the Father, and called children, children of God, by the grace and mercy of Jesus. It's the story of salvation, that basic story, that milk that we never get tired of drinking. It's the good news that because of what Christ has done for us, we are now qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In other words, the promises of everlasting life, the riches of the kingdom of heaven are ours. Even now, we don't grab hold of it firmly yet, as we await the full revelation, the full realization, but they are ours now. The promises are ours now by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, through whom we've become heirs by his blood. We are qualified children of God, inheritors of his blessings and riches. And we're qualified, by the way, not because of anything that we have done, no, but because we have redemption, the forgiveness of all of our sins. So those are basics that you need to know and you should be reminded of daily. We need to hear the gospel, this good news, this message of salvation by the cross of Jesus Christ over and over and over again, because daily we continue to struggle with sin over and over and over again. And this is always, always the message that we need to keep hearing. But this passage doesn't just tell us about what Christ has done for us, but it also tells us throughout it, tells us about our response. It tells us about how we should live as those who have been redeemed by Christ, those who have been qualified by God the Father to be inheritors. So what does it mean for us now? How do we live as those who are in Christ? How do we live out our life in Christ? Well, the foundation of the Christian faith is the gospel. It's that gospel message. It's that status that we have before God as children of our Heavenly Father, part of his family through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And being part of that family, building on that foundation, we live out our lives today as children of God. We lead lives of thanksgiving, That's what we're called to have, is lives of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for those good gifts that He's given to us, to have gratitude. To have gratitude. Yesterday I was with my boys at karate. They were doing karate, not me. You don't want to see that. But their instructor was teaching them about gratitude and how often we forget to be thankful for what we have. And that's so true for us at Christians sometimes. We walk through life and we see all the things that have gone wrong and all of the things that we don't have, but we forget to give thanks to God for what He's given to us. We forget to give thanks to God for who we are in Christ Jesus, for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us, not just the earthly blessings that we might have and being content with those things, but being thankful for the life that we now have and the life in eternity that we have thanks to Christ Jesus and the good news of our redemption. So being in Christ is to live lives of thanksgiving, of thankfulness and praise. And faith in Christ, well, faith in Christ, we're told, led the Colossians to love for all of the saints. So being in Christ, life in Christ, means that our faith is manifested in love. Our faith is manifested in love. Today's gospel reading was that parable of the Good Samaritan. I think you probably know it well, hopefully. But we see that picture of Christ. Well, we see a picture of Christ in the Good Samaritan, right? The one who binds up our wounds, who cares for us, who rescues us from death, you know, and so on. But we also see faith active in love. Love for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and love for our neighbors in general, meaning everyone. We preach grace alone here at St. Peter's, that we're saved by grace alone, not saved by our works, which is true. It's what the Bible teaches very clearly. But faith is always active in love. Faith and works, they go hand in hand. Those works don't and cannot save you. But those works naturally flow. They're produced from the new life in Christ Jesus. Faith results in works, not to merit favor with God, but because of the favor that you've received from God. And those works then benefit your neighbor. So our life in Christ, those who have benefited from these riches of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, we share those for the benefit of our neighbor. Luther said, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. This is holy living. This is what the life in Christ built on the foundation of the gospel leads us to. We're to live lives filled with the knowledge of God's will and spiritual understanding, and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Again, not in order to earn that salvation, but because of the salvation that's been given to you, because you've been qualified as an inheritor of the riches of heaven through Christ Jesus. Walk now in a manner worthy of that calling. Walk now as those who belong to Jesus Christ. When we fail in that, and we often fail, we return to where our hope is found. We return to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and the word of the truth of the gospel, as Paul points to Colossians to. And that gospel leads us again, then, as we are forgiven and renewed, leads us again to walk in this newness of life, bearing fruit and increasing in knowledge. This fruit bearing, the good works that we do, the love for your neighbor, again, they don't make you Christians. That stuff doesn't make you a Christian. But they are what comes from being in Christ, from having life in Christ, from being new creations in Jesus Christ. It is what's produced in us. From this new life flows love for other people, flows fruit, living out the Christian life. So I encourage you today, in these words, similar words to what Paul says to the Colossians, to live out your lives in holy living. Never cease praying. Be in God's word. Come to church. Receive His gift of the Holy Sacrament for the strengthening of your faith while you live out your life in this world, waiting for the world to come. shine the light of Christ in your lives as living testimonies to who he is and what he has done for you. Not pointing to yourself and to your holiness, but pointing to him and his holiness and his innocent suffering death for the sins of the world. As Christians walking in Christ, we are people of hope. Even as we struggle with things in this life and struggle with sin, maybe lamenting the state of things even in the church, we know where our foundation is, and we build upon that foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord. In a moment, we're going to rise and join together in prayer, this prayer that we know well, the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, we're going to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." But we don't just pray for something that's in the future. We're not just praying for that time when Christ will come and make all things new. But we're praying that now, in and through his church, God's kingdom would come and his will would be done. We pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done in our lives as we live out this life as new creations in Christ Jesus. Catechism says, the Lord's kingdom comes with or without our prayers, but we pray in this petition that it would come amongst us as well, that God's will would be done amongst us as well, that the world might see the love of God in Christ Jesus. You have life in Christ. This is sure and promised in the gospel. So live out your life in Christ, in faith, in love for God, and in love and service to your neighbor. Amen.